This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Coming up in just about 20 minutes, Nicole Auerbach, who covers college football and basketball for NBC and Peacock, she'll join us at 9:20. So we'll talk college football with her. But we wanted to talk some pro football, specifically Commanders here, as the Commanders prepare to take on the Ravens in...
It's a big one, Cakes.
I mean, I can't remember a more anticipated early season game for the Washington football team... Commanders, whatever name you want to call
them. No, this is literally, like Jay talked about it, Jay Gruden, when he did his pod with John, John Keim. This is the biggest game of the, could be the biggest game of the year, regular season.
Yeah.
Big, and it's certainly the biggest game, I think, of the week. Most exciting, has that potential.
Oh, yeah. It's probably number one on the board. Yeah.
So with Jaden taking on Lamar, there have been comparisons drawn between the two. And we have some audio from both Dan Quinn and Jaden when they were asked about the question. Let's hear Jaden's response to the comp between him and Lamar from the Ravens.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, growing up, I mean, high school, you get comparisons for college, and then college, you get kind of within the draft comparisons of who this is, kind of the skills type, skill set is like, but I'll say for me, it's kind of just, you know, go out there and it's trying to be unique and trying to be not really different from everybody and appreciate what they could do, because you always learn stuff from other quarterbacks within the league. I'm not closed-minded. You know, I always want to be able to grow. But, you know, at the end of the day, I want to be known as Jane Daniels and not the next such and such.
I can understand that. Wants his own identity. Doesn't want to be comp to Lamar. And look. The guy's got five games under his belt. It's unfair to comp him to Lamar, who has two MVPs and has played in the league for much, much longer.
I don't think it's unfair.
It's not a fair comp.
I think they actually compare very favorably. I mean, they're very similar. So
I think there's a lot of similarities.
For us, I get why he doesn't want to be compared, but we're in the business of comparing, and I think that that's a fair comparison. Who would you compare him to?
I just think it's unfair to comp him to a two-time MVP when he's hasn't even gotten a half of a season.
I think they're just comparing just the style of play.
Skill set, and early success. Listen, I already told you, I'm going out there, I'm going over my skis. He's going to go down as one of the greats. He's going to go down as one of the greats, certainly of his generation.
I mean, if he stays healthy and keeps on this trajectory,
got
I don't think that's
outrageous.
Got a long
ways to go, but okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I just think he has all the tools. He's got a massive toolbox.
I think he has all the tools, but Justin Fields probably has all the tools, too.
I'm not sure he does. I'm not sure he has the accuracy. I'm not sure he throws guys open. I'm not sure he's as polished a passer. In fact, I'm quite sure he's not, as Jaden.
I mean, has Justin Fields ever had a game where he's been like above 80%? Maybe he's
didn't he have four touchdown passes against the Commanders?
Yeah, I don't know if he was above 80%, but he looked like a Hall of Famer.
He did have a great game against the Commanders.
He
that
looked
is
great
true.
That day. And I root for Justin Fields. Yeah. But I think Jaden is different.
I'm just saying that there's more to ability. Like, I think that they probably compare on athleticism and arm talent and all those things.
I think style of play. Pretty similar.
Yeah, it's style of play.
Pretty
exactly.
similar.
They're dual threats.
Personally, I actually think, and Valdez will hate this, I think that Jaden is going to prove to be a really adept passer, so a notch above. And I think Lamar's a probably a more dynamic runner, a little shiftier. But I'm not saying Lamar's not a good passer. I just think that Jaden has potential to be better. But we'll see. Only time will tell. But I agree with you. Talent is only 1% of it, or, you know, 50% of it. The other part is the work ethic and all of that.
There are a lot of guys who have, maybe not a lot, but
plenty of guys can run.
There are enough guys who have that ability. And what is separating Justin Fields from being great versus some of these others? It might be the showing up at 4 a.m. It might be the cerebral part. It might be the virtual reality set and all of those things. And the system you're in.
I was asking somebody about a player that was drafted, not by them, but it was a former first-round pick. And they said, basically, they insinuated that person wasn't putting the work in.
Wasn't grinding.
And it's all on that person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say what sport or whatever, but yeah.
Well, that's what we heard about Kyler Murray.
Yep.
Kyler Murray's number one pick and has been solid, but he hasn't reached his potential.
Kyler Murray doesn't look like he loves playing the game when he's on the field.
I agree.
So I don't know where that comes
from. I wouldn't be surprised if he likes baseball better.
I don't know where that comes from.
Jaden doesn't have a crippling Call of Duty addiction that we don't know about, does he?
I don't think so.
It's been kept secret.
I don't think so. He just seems to be the real deal.
If you had a
crippling Call of Duty addiction, you probably wouldn't be at the park at 4 a.m.
I would guess not.
Because you'd probably be up all night playing, and you'd be too tired to get up. I don't know.
Answer the question, I don't think it's unfair to compare them because they both play a similar style.
They have a similar style. They do.
Kind of similar physical attributes. I mean, Jaden's a little taller, but I mean, they're both very fast.
Doesn't it get mentally exhausting, though, to comp these guys to all these other guys? Can't you just watch the game and enjoy them for what they are?
That's kind of the way you're always comparing.
Are you telling me that you don't compare athletes?
I mean, I've done it before.
I find that very hard to believe.
I think I've evolved.
I haven't paid attention to it.
I think I've evolved past that. No,
so when Alex Sarr comes up,
look, if there's a bigger quarterback, and I'm just going to throw race out there, bigger white quarterback coming out of college who's 6'4", 6'5", he's got a really good arm. Who's he going to be compared to?
Peyton Manning.
No.
Tom Brady.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen.
Oh, runner. Yeah. I didn't hear you say that.
Sorry, yeah. So he's going to be compared to Josh Allen.
Well, that's some of it.
I just
look, Caleb Williams, who was he compared to? Because they play
Mahomes,
similar style, arm angles.
Look, I digest watching football differently than I guess most of the people in this
room. Are you telling me when Alex Sarr was coming out and you started looking at tape, or your guy Bilal Coulibaly, you didn't comp him to another player in the league?
You did compare him to somebody.
I mean,
you have to because you have to project like what you think this person can be.
It's
natural. I get it. You're in a box right now.
Maybe I just minor in it. It's a minor. It's not a major.
Listen, I'm not thinking about Lamar when he's playing, but if you asked me who is his game most similar to, I think I would say Lamar.
All right, let's hear what head coach Dan Quinn had to say about the comp between his quarterback and Lamar Jackson.
I would say if I had to pick one that both of these two are elite competitors, like at the highest level. And that shows on the tape, you know, the way they extend plays, the way they finish, the way they lead their group. So that's the part. If I was to make a comparison, it would be something intangible like that. Both of them have their own unique ways about them. But in this game, there's all these guys are fantastic competitors. And then like in most profession, there's the elite, and these two guys are elite at it.
He doesn't want it. He doesn't sound like he wants to make physical comparisons.
Doesn't seem like
which
it.
Which is fine.
You know what? I'm on Coach Quinn's side. Me and DQ, we're hanging out together.
By the way, is it just me, or is Jaden Dan? I mean, what a great athletic name, right?
It's just a
great name. Like, Eric Bickle is not a great athletic name.
Neither is John Allville.
Yeah.
It's not very good.
Jaden Daniels.
Lamar
Jackson is a great name.
Just jumps out at you.
It is. I'm sorry.
Eric Bickle.
Matt Cahill.
Eric Bickle and Jaden Daniels are the same amount of syllables, I think.
It's not great.
I think we've reached peak glazing. We're going over
his name.
About his birth name.
No,
peak glazing right now.
Some names pop, others don't. Like
you don't think Drake May is a cool name?
Drake May is a good name.
Here's
another good name.
Good name.
NFL good NFL name. Nico Collins.
Just great sounds name. Like
a good. Well, I think good for quarterbacks, Jackson Dart is a silly
Jackson
name.
Jackson Dart's a really good name.
But if Nico Collins was
a teacher
at your kid's school, you'd say. You
wouldn't go up to him and go, it's only because Professor Collins, I think he should have been a football player.
I've got one for you. This guy is very unproven, but he's got a great name. Spencer Rattler.
That's a good name.
That's a great name.
It's a great
athletic
name.
Now, he may suck at playing NFL quarterback. We're going to see this weekend.
Not a great name because you could call him Spencer Rattled.
Maybe.
You can make fun of him easy.
Yeah, maybe. I guess.
But I'll tell you where I first became aware of the idea of a great athletic name is when I was 14 years old and the New York Mets called up Daryl Strawberry and everybody said, this kid's unbelievable talent, mm-hmm. and he's got an amazing name.
But you also liked Chris Hamburger as a kid.
Well, that was a little before my time, to be honest with you.
Is
Brett Favre a silly name?
It's kind of a good name.
I don't like Favre.
It's one of the worst names ever.
Is Patrick Mahomes some great name? He's a great player.
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's kind of boring.
They've made it iconic.
Matt Ryan.
I don't think Matt Ryan's a great name.
Boring name.
LeBron James is a great name.
Okay, what about John Wall?
Good name.
That's a terrible name.
Maybe the worst superstar
name. John Wall's a good name.
It's the most boring name in history. But he's a superstar.
I don't know. Maybe. So I think Jaden Daniels is a great name.
I think you stand up at night thinking about his name is.
I thought about it the other day. This kid's even got a great name. His name could have been. I don't know.
Sam Darnold.
No, Sam Darnold is not great.
Right. Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford's pretty good.
Deshaun Watson.
Good name. Bad person. Worst quarterback.
Terrible.
Great name though. Great name. It's a great name.
You like that name?
Mm-hmm. It's a great name.
Brock Purdy.
Yeah, Purdy's
nerdy,
not great.
Sounds nerdy.
No.
He turns into Brock Nerdy. No.
Great name.
Not great.
Brock Purdy, great name.
Joe Burrow. Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins is not a
great
name.
We're grading names.
Kirk Cousins, great name.
Kirk Cousins, awesome name.
Yeah.
But back to the play.
I'm going to try to give you a
back to the play.
Kirk Cousins. No, it's not a great name.
It is. What?
Back to the play. I get Dan Quinn not wanting to compare, but I'm totally with Jason. Their style of play compares.
Yeah.
Now, one could argue that right now, Jaden Daniels seems to be more advanced through five games passing than Lamar did early, but he also wasn't given a chance. How many games did it take for him to supplant Joe Flacco?
I don't know. I'm just names now. Derrick Henry, good name.
He wasn't supplanted. Joe got injured.
Okay.
Yeah. They put Lamar in, and then they went on a six-game winning streak.
Right. Oh.
And then they couldn't put Joe back in.
So was it 10 games in or so?
Yeah. Like
Joe Flacco, elite name.
No, Joe Flacco, not a great name. That's a good example. That's not a great name.
Right, it's not fantastic.
Go ahead, give me a few more. I'll tell you.
Dak Prescott, that's a good name.
Good name.
That's a good name.
Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner, pretty good.
Average name.
you guys like all the names.
Well, they only like it because
you know
they're who
like?
They were.
I'll tell you a name right now I don't like. Alex Saar. I don't think that's a great name.
You can call him Alex Sorry.
I don't think that's a great name.
What about if we're going with quarterbacks, I'll go with Hall of Famers. Troy Aikman.
Great name.
Peyton Manning.
Great name. None of them are Eric Bickle. None of them are John Alvin.
Right.
None of them are Paul
Jason
Flynn.
Bishop,
yeah, but if Eric Bickle was a Hall of Fame quarterback, you'd say, great name.
No, you'd say.
But he's just a Donkey Kong.
I'm not.
That cuts his toenails during commercial breaks. Of course it's not a great name. You like that one.
Eric, what about Ben Roethlisberger?
That's a terrible name.
If he says good
name. Roethlisberger's not a good name.
That's a terrible name.
It's impossible.
It's just so unique, though.
See?
It's so unique. Listen, I wouldn't want to be called a Roethlisberger.
No.
That's worse than
Allville. You don't want to be called a burger.
I think it's worse than Allville.
Burger.
Daniel Berger, the PGA golfer. He hates that name.
Average name. Tiger Woods. Great name. Eldrick Woods.
Eldrick, terrible.
Yeah, not great.
Tiger, great. Incredible name.
I would agree with that.
Charlie Woods, boring. They botched it. Charlie Woods botched it.
All right, let's not critique our next guest's name. She's got a great name, Nicole Auerbach.
Yeah, but she's not related to the Red.
It doesn't matter. It's a really good name.
Have we confirmed
I don't think she is.
We're just saying. We're just assuming.
Maybe we can ask her.
I mean, is she the granddaughter?
She's been asked that question probably 9 million times.
That's true. She covers college football and hoops for NBC Sports and Peacock, and she will join us next to help preview Ohio State at Oregon and more. That's coming up next on The Fan. At Lindsay, Great name. Football season is truck season, and they're running the triple option. That's Lindsay Chevy in Woodbridge, Lindsay Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Manassas, and Lindsay Ford there in Wheaton. What's my guy Danny Dimes got cooking over at Lindsay Chevy? Well, how about heavy and light duty Silverados, Colorados, full-size Tahoes and Suburbans, Equinox, Traverse, even the all-new in-demand Blazer EVs and new body style vets too. Or right now at Lindsay Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you can shop a sizzling selection of new Wranglers, Grand Cherokees, Challengers, heavy and light duty Ram trucks, and more. And they're all priced to move right now. Your next awesome autumn adventure starts at Lindsay Ford in Wheaton. New Explorer, Escape, Edge, Bronco, Mustang, Mach-E, and more. Lindsay's got them all priced to sell. Plus, new F-150 trucks, including Super Duties and Transit vans, too. And you know Lindsay wants your trade. They're shipping you all the chips, up to 120% of KBB value. So take it from your pal Cakes. Just like me, you'll love it at Lindsay, lindsaycars.com. Time to head out to the BetQL guest hotline. You can access the BetQL app or visit betql.com. Get 3 free days of access there. We're joined by Nicole Auerbach, NBC Sports college football and basketball insider. For this Saturday's big college football slate, she's on College Countdown at 3 o'clock on NBC and Peacock ahead of Notre Dame-Stanford. And then at 7 p.m. Eastern on Big Ten College Countdown on NBC and Peacock ahead of one of the biggest games of the season, number 2 Ohio State at number 3 Oregon. That's at 7:30 Eastern.
Is that the Terps, Cakes?
It is not. No, Terp. that's a lower-level Big Ten game this weekend.
Right. And that's tonight, Friday Night Lights in College Park. Tomorrow.
Nicole, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We appreciate the time. So that Ohio State-Oregon game is just a monster. Ohio State's outscored Michigan State and Iowa 73-14 in their last two, and the Ducks have throttled UCLA and Michigan State in Big Ten play. It's still kind of weird for me to think that UCLA's in the Big Ten, but this is the new age of college football. We have to look at these super conferences, but this is a massive, massive showdown between the Ducks and the Bucks, 7:30 on NBC and Peacock.
Yeah, it is. And, it's funny because you mentioned realignment and, for all the hand-wringing about it, it does give us games like this way more often than we used to. I mean, this is the kind of game you'd schedule and it'd be like, oh, yeah, 12 years from now, you get a one-off game between Oregon and Ohio State, and here you go. It could be the game of the year in college football because – you've got two national championship caliber teams. I think Ohio State certainly has the clear edge coming in. You mentioned how well they've been playing their last couple of games. There's just talent all over that field. We all know they went all in on NIL for talent retention, also getting guys out of the portal, and they brought in some of the best players like Caleb Downs and Quinshon Judkins. And meanwhile, like Oregon, this is a team that I thought could be a national champion, could be a Heisman Trophy winner in quarterback Dillon Gabriel. They've definitely had some ups and downs. The offensive line has gotten better since the early part of the season, but Dillon Gabriel's thrown 3 red zone interceptions in the last 2 games. So it's definitely, I think, a fascinating game. The game's in Eugene. We're going to learn a lot about Ohio State and their championship or bust narrative of their season by going into this hostile environment, traveling a couple of time zones to do it. But I think that they have the clear edge coming in from just the way that they're playing and just the embarrassment of riches across the field.
Nicole, I don't know if people are talking enough about the actual travel. You just mentioned the time zone thing. I think I read that Big Ten teams that have to travel at least 2 time zones this year are 1-7. I think they're 1-7, and you just talked about Ohio State having to travel. I follow Virginia Tech very closely, and they went out to Stanford last week, and they handled their business. But in the ACC, Cal is going to make – they've already played at Auburn. They've already played at Florida State. They're going to go to Pitt this week. So that's 3 cross-country trips in the last 6 weeks, and they still got to play at Wake Forest. I mean, it's the travel for some of these teams is just an absurdity.
Yeah, and I think this year everyone's trying to figure out what works best. And then I'm sure the operations folks for all these teams are going to gather together and say, hey, this was good for us. This didn't work for us. The interesting part on that Big Ten stat is the one team that won was Indiana. They went out to UCLA. And I actually talked to their ops folks before they went out, and they did something that's different than most teams. Most teams are flying out Thursday for a Saturday game when you're traveling that far. They went Friday. They got to their hotel at 7:30 p.m. because that's the normal time they would get to their hotel if they were going to just bus over to Purdue. So they were trying really hard not to make it seem any different, even though it was a longer flight, and any different routine, even though, you know, maybe your body's waking you up at a slightly different time. So it's interesting, you know, does Indiana then say to everyone else, hey, like, we think this worked maybe a little bit better? Well, most teams are going in on Thursday. So we'll learn a lot, I think, once we have a whole year of data on the travel. But it's absolutely a very real factor, certainly in the Big Ten. And then, you know, a couple of those losses are USC going east. I think it's also really hard going east, or when you go out west and then have to go east the following week. Everyone's just very much on guard about all of these travel issues.
It's crazy. I mean, NFL teams are used to it. The college teams are not used to it like this. All right, so getting back to the Oregon and Ohio State game, who do you like in this? Who do you like in this matchup?
Yeah, I mean, I like Ohio State. I just think that they are just so kind of bulletproof a little bit, if you think about it. I mean, I think they've got the best running back duo in the country. I think they have, you know, we have one of the two amazing true freshman receivers. Jeremiah Smith is just absolutely unreal. And we all saw what Ryan Williams at Alabama can do. But Jeremiah Smith is, I think, going to be the best receiver of that whole crazy run of phenomenal receivers that Ohio State's had in recent years that are all in the NFL now. So I just think, you know, Will Howard, transfer quarterback, he is an upgrade from Kyle McCord. You know, we'll see what he is like in this big game, in this big moment. But he has so many different playmakers around him that I feel confident in that. I like the defense, Jim Knowles, the way that he's really put his imprint on them. And then Caleb Downs comes in from Alabama at the safety position. He's one of the best defensive players in the country. So they're just really, really sound. And then Oregon, I've just got those questions with Dylan Gabriel's red zone interceptions. He's really struggled when he's had pressure. He kind of shuts down a little bit or panics a little bit. He's running a lot less this year as well, and kind of staying in the pocket and going through his checkdowns. You know, can he go out there and win Oregon a game? He's supposed to be that kind of player. He's supposed to be a Heisman Trophy contender. We'll see. I don't know how well Oregon's going to be able to run the ball against Ohio State. They also have good receivers and tight ends. But there's just a lot of pressure, I think, for them to have to continue to keep up against a prolific Ohio State offense. I think they're going to need touchdowns, not field goals. They're going to need to make sure they take care of the ball. It's just a lot to have maybe more of a perfect performance on the Oregon side, which is why I would give the edge to the Buckeyes.
And then the Chip Kelly factor. Well, how much of an edge is that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting to see. I mean, he was obviously so happy to get away from being a head coach and just getting to coach and just getting to do the football pieces. And I think we've seen some of that with the creativity in the run game. And again, you have two of the best running backs in the country. So it's easy to play around and mess around with that. But yeah, I mean, I've got to assume that based on the schedule, we've talked a lot about Ohio State hasn't really played many people. You know, they haven't really been tested. But I'm sure he's got some stuff in his bag that he wants to break out in this game too. So by all accounts, that's been going very, very well. And he's obviously very happy to be back in the X's and O's more.
So you got the Red River rivalry game between Texas, who's number one in the country, and Oklahoma. Some interesting quarterback storylines here. Of course, Arch Manning has been playing quarterback, but I think yours is going to start this week. And on the other side, Michael Hawkins Jr. is a true freshman, right?
Yeah, he's the first true freshman to start this game for Oklahoma in the program history. But they needed a change. I mean, if anyone watched Jackson Arnold early in the season, that offense was anemic. It wasn't giving them a chance to win. And, you know, this is a Brent Venables program. The defense is always going to be solid. It should keep them in games. So they needed to make a change. They did in that Tennessee game. And then Hawkins, you know, got his first start against Auburn, a bounce back win. They were fortunate enough to win that game. So again, you got to feel really good about Texas. Really the only question coming into this for me, and I know they lost to Oklahoma and they weren't supposed to last year, but this year it just feels like these rosters are in totally different places. The question is just, you know, is there rust for Quinn Ewers? He's been out for a few weeks, but I'm not too worried about that. He was playing at a Heisman Trophy caliber before that. So I think that, you know, Texas is going to roll in this game, but this is a weird one. Again, last year, you don't even need to go that far back to realize weird things happen in this game. We always say that about rivalries, but especially this one where the crowd split 50-50 at the Cotton Bowl, and it's just a scene. This one, weird things absolutely are on the table here.
All right, so Nicole, let's talk about just the absurdity of the loss Bama had last week against Vandy. And the entire staff of Alabama was outcoached by Vanderbilt's staff. When you hold the ball for 42 minutes, you're getting outcoached. Now that the playoff has expanded to 12 teams, you know, you can lose two games, and depending on who they're to, and you can still get in. So I think, I know I'm not going on a limb, the winner of the Ohio State-Oregon game is pretty much a lock for the playoff. But what does Alabama need to show us against, now South Carolina's not very good, but after what happened last week, what do they need to show us to make the voters go, okay, all right, that's the Alabama we expected?
Yeah, I think it just needs to be boring, right? It needs to be like, right, you know, take from the jump, you come out, you build a lead, you hang on to it, you extend it. You're not letting them hang around. It's not one of those games. They've had a few early in the season where it was just like slow starts. USF, for example, again, 2 years in a row where it took until like, you know, midway through the third quarter to start pulling away. They need to do that. They need to show that they're focused and that they can learn from a loss like Vanderbilt, because you're right, with the new playoff, you know, you're still in the hunt. You're very much still alive. They have the best win to date out of anyone who is a playoff contender. So the path is there. You just need to see how they respond to something that obviously none of those players have dealt with. It's funny, I'm in Nashville as we're talking, and man, like, they're still buzzing here. They're like, my Uber driver was like, oh yeah, it looks like we have a real football team now. I was like,
right.
It was great. But yeah, I mean, this is something.
Did they find the goalposts yet in the Cumberland River?
So apparently, I think they fished them out and they're selling parts of them, which is pretty cool, actually. Like, that's a good way to, it's to help offset the cost of the, you know, they got fined for storming the field.
Right.
But I mean, that's cool. You get like a little piece of the goalpost forever from a win like that. But yeah, it's, this is very real. Like, we're going to learn a lot about Kalen DeBoer and the coaching staff, as you mentioned, but also the Alabama team and just sort of like how this new world where you don't get, you know, completely eliminated after a loss like that, how does that work? How does that motivate and how does this team respond?
Hey, I just wanted to jump to the Big 12 before we let you go here. When you kind of look at the stands, I think the Big 12 is just going to be wild the rest of the way, but Colorado is playing Kansas State at home, and Kansas State usually doesn't play very well out there in Boulder. I don't know what their streak is, but they haven't played very well in Boulder over the last, you know, 30, 40 years. So now Kansas State's ranked. Colorado's kind of surprising people at 4-1. Can Colorado and Deion get their team, if they beat Kansas State, right, which is certainly a possibility, can they be in the mix for a Big 12 championship?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I don't think you can really write very many teams off in that conference. To your point, I mean, it's been wild. Like, they're so close and bunched up from a talent perspective that, you know, you just, it really does feel like a league where anybody can be anybody on any given week. And I would have put Colorado not in that category to start the season,
right,
even though
either.
I do think, you know, that they're better, but, like, they were so bad. You know, there's such a clear drop-off and the line play and all of that. But their win against UCF a few weeks ago completely changed my mind. It was just really thorough, really dominant. It's a middle-of-the-pack Big 12 team. And if you're able to do that, I do think you're going to be able to contend with the Kansas States, the BYUs, the Utahs, who are in maybe that top tier that we think in the Big 12. So, yeah, I'm absolutely including Colorado in that. And that game, it's the late-night game, absolutely worth staying up for because, you know, again, Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, appointment television. But you're right. I mean, they could actually win this game. K-State could really use it. They lost to BYU already, so they need to start thinking about the Big 12 standings and the chance to get to the title game. So it's actually a huge game.
It's big,
and I just think, like, the environment's going to be awesome, the playmakers on both sides. It's going to tell us quite a bit about both the teams.
Good stuff.
Nicole, thanks a lot for the time. We really do appreciate it. We know you're going to be super busy on Saturday. College Countdown, 3 p.m. Eastern on NBC and Peacock ahead of Notre Dame Stanford. Then the big one, 7 p.m. on Big Ten College Countdown, NBC and Peacock again ahead of Ohio State, Oregon. Mm. That's number 2 versus number 3 at 7:30 p.m. Thanks again. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the game.
Yep.
Thank
that's
you.
Nicole Auerbach, NBC Sports, college football and basketball insider. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender. Coming up before the show is done, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to go see Deftones North American Tour 2025 at Capital One Arena. That show is Sunday, April 6th. So keep listening for your chance to win. All right, everybody who's listening should aspire to become a fired NFL head coach. Because Robert Saleh, who was just let go by the New York Jets a couple days ago.
I heard he got a sick payout.
He is going to earn, over the next 2 years, over $20,000 per day to not coach the New York Jets.
What was his contract?
I think he signed a
four-year?
He signed a five-year deal with the Jets back in January of 2021.
He had a year and a half left, basically.
Yeah.
So next year would have been his final year.
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
well,
over 20.
I know he's not happy. I know he's not happy that he never made the playoffs.
I'm sure he's not.
But he's probably happier he doesn't have to coach Aaron Rodgers.
He's going to be a highly coveted defensive coordinator wherever he lands.
Oh yeah,
next.
He'll get a job.
And he's just going to clock over 20K a day, not to deal with Woody Johnson, not to deal with a quarterback who hates his guts. Not to deal with an underachieving offense.
By the way,
doesn't have to deal with any of it.
Speaking of Rodgers, I didn't hear. I know he did the McAfee interview yesterday. I know that was all brought up. Did he have any interesting responses to the questions? I didn't hear what he said.
Well, he basically said it's preposterous. He claims that he had nothing to do with the Saleh firing.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
It was all Woody Johnson. It was Woody Johnson's deal.
Wasn't it reported that Woody did call him, though?
He did call Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers claimed that it was, "Hey, how you doing? I saw you took some pretty vicious hits, you know, in London. Are you?" That's what he was claiming.
Come up any conversation about him firing Saleh.
Correct.
Wow. Didn't even hip him to it.
He made it sound like he had less than zero to do with the firing of Robert Saleh.
That may be true. He may have had less than zero to do with it. But I still feel like Saleh called him and gave him the heads up. Hey, just so you know, I'm going to let him go.
Gave who the heads up? Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
I bet you it was discussed.
Yeah, I have to feel like it was discussed.
Maybe.
And that maybe Rodgers had nothing to do with it. He was going to do it anyway, but he's just saying, hey, just so you know, I'm going to donk him off.
Did you see the quotes from the new head coach about Aaron Rodgers and the offense?
Albrick.
A lot of people interpret it as he's basically saying Aaron Rodgers is the offensive coordinator.
I believe that. I believe that. I mean, this is Nathaniel Hackett.
Who do you think has more power, Hackett or Aaron Rodgers? I mean, in that building.
Hackett was a disaster as the head coach, right?
Yeah, Hackett is only there because of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I was going to say they're buddies.
Yeah.
They're boys.
That doesn't surprise me. They probably talk about, you know, the offensive game plan.
He said, I think the biggest thing, Aaron and I spoke about this earlier today. And there has to be an element of change. The players have to feel that's our process, whether that's scheduling meetings, practice, night before games, whatever that is. There has to be a change bigger than just now me assuming the head coaching role. So I guess he's seeking input from Aaron Rodgers on when they practice, what they do in meetings, all that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, he's what, like a 18-year veteran or however long he's been in the league?
Something like that.
Won a Super Bowl. I know people think he should have more. Probably should.
Well, think about how big that game is Monday night, Bills-Jets.
No, it's a huge one.
Probably not as much as for Buffalo, although they have looked bad the last few games. Blown out by the Ravens. Bad loss last week because of coaching. But Bills-Jets on Monday, it's a big one.
I mean, it's so guaranteed they would have won that game.
It should have gone to overtime.
I was funny. You mentioned that, Cakes, about just like being an ex-NFL head coach and getting fired. I was thinking about it as I was listening to Jay. And, you know, Jay's doing a lot of media these days and playing a lot of golf.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like it's that bad.
No, I think his Washington money has run out, but he parlayed it into...
$30 million bucks.
He's not still getting paid actively by Washington.
Right,
I'm not implying that
he's bust though.
He's bust though.
No. Yeah.
But you know, he went and did like an advisor gig with was it the Jags and maybe the Rams too?
I think it was the Rams. Yeah.
He's doing whatever.
That's like free money. I mean, what exactly are you doing?
I think he's had two hole in ones in like the last 6 months.
Yep. That means he's playing. He's playing more golf than you.
He is.
Which is shocking.
He really is.
He's playing more than Eric Bickle.
He is. He's clearly better than me, too. Which is not a stretch.
He's just draining hole in ones all the time. Yeah.
Well, just wait to get those Timu training aids.
Yeah. Two of them shipped. Two of them have shipped. I don't necessarily have tracking numbers, but they said they were shipped.
Okay.
I hope you can read Chinese tracking numbers. I don't know if they're in English.
No, it's like Amazon. They got local. They have local.
I've seen people's reviews on Timu merchandise.
Not good.
They're
not great.
I think it's cheap stuff.
Yeah.
But you buy cheap stuff. Like you buy stuff that doesn't need to be high quality. You know what I mean? Like a ruler you putt over.
If it lasts more than a year, you should be thrilled.
Yeah, I spent like $20.
Right?
I
mean, it's nothing.
Yeah, the only Timu I know is Solani.
Yeah,
and I don't really remember that much about him.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Was he on the San Jose Sharks?
He was on a bunch of teams.
What I want to do is
is it spelled the same?
No, I think Timu Solani has an extra E.
Oh, okay.
I think he's T-E-E-M-U.
I keep telling my boys I want to start a golf company. I've even mentioned to Valdez, and I want to I need a logo.
Okay.
And a cool name.
All right, are you selling?
Well, I'm going to tell you. And then I'm just going to buy cheap head covers from Timu or something and then put my logo on it.
And that's what you're selling.
That's your business idea?
Yeah.
I think the Sharks would laugh your business idea right out the door.
Yeah.
Actually, sounds like a horrible plan.
Actually, there's a guy that I follow, or he always shows up on my algorithm, and he tells you where Nike orders all their golf shirts from, right? Mm. And it's from this factory in China, whatever. And he gives you the thing and then tells you how many you have to buy and what the cost is. Tells you where Adidas gets their stuff or where Peter Millar gets their stuff.
Makes you laugh, but there's, I don't know, millions of people doing that on Amazon every day.
That's what they do with
their products.
They just repurpose
everything you buy on Amazon that isn't from a brand that you recognize.
Yeah,
it's from somebody else.
It's from warehouse
even the brand
in China
you recognize.
Yeah. With their label slapped on
even
it.
Even their brand you recognize.
Everything's
same thing.
Refurbished, is what you're telling me.
Oh, no, and it's not refurbished. It's called white label.
I don't even know what that is.
They're just they're buying golf club headers.
Head covers.
From a warehouse.
And putting your
Alibaba
logo on it or whatever.
Putting your logo on it. And
repackaging it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I clearly don't know how internet commerce works.
All the good names have already been taken, though, right?
Like what?
Good, good. That's a great name. Bad Birdie. We just need to, whatever it is.
Hey,
we're obsessed with
names. I got yours.
Yeah.
Old Eagle.
Old Eagle?
Yeah. Old Eagle.
Why?
You're old. Yeah. You're trying to make an eagle.
I don't hate it.
I was just going to do
old.
Big Pickle. Go back to my Big Pickle thing.
Yeah.
Big Pickle head covers and make them like a pickle.
Well, wouldn't pickle work more in the pickleball space than the golf space?
I know, but I'm out on pickleball.
Are you trying to have Big Johnson t-shirts but for golf covers?
For golf.
Yeah,
Big Pickle.
Because guys wear so many t-shirts at golf courses.
Yeah, she's really going to love your Big Pickle.
My Big Pickle. Wear your Big Pickle golf shirt to like congressional. Yeah. The
John
Big Fowl Pickle.
One. Give one to John Feinstein. He can wear it congressional. Yeah.
King of the hole in ones, Big Pickle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Give one to Jake Rudin.
Yeah.
Hey, I like this Big Pickle t-shirt, man. I'm a big fan.
No, not t-shirt, golf shirt.
By the way, have you guys seen seen and or heard the really weird, creepy John Gruden TikTok videos of late?
I've seen a couple.
He's
all sweaty.
He's so weird. He's like the weirdest guy on the planet.
I think didn't we run that?
I think we might have played a clip.
We were talking about Jaden.
We had one in the compilation.
Yeah.
Jocks, Cliff Kingsbury's offense.
Yeah, people are zooming in on the chalkboard or whatever and trying to read his notes on the Commander's offense.
He's a strange dude.
Is he strange?
I think he's strange.
Do you think Jay's strange?
I think Jay is much more well-adjusted than John Gruden.
What do you think John is?
I think he's a psychotic person, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I think he is.
Just psychotic about football.
Yeah. Likes football a lot of it too much.
Yeah.
But that's his thing. That's his brand.
That might be a fair characterization.
Yeah. Jay, clearly the more chill of the Gruden brothers.
Well, also has a better haircut.
Definitely has a better haircut.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And his son, is his son Deuce? That's the one that's It's John's son. It's like all jacked.
I believe so.
Like the tiny guy, but he's huge.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like Rom's height.
He could outlive Valdez. He could probably bench press Valdez. He's jacked.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're going to hook up caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score two tickets to Deftones North American Tour 2025, Sunday, April 6th at Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. Call now, caller 10. You win.
Looks like the
two tickets to paradise.
The hurricane's pretty much done in Florida now. Is it off into the
Atlantic? It might still be hanging out, you know, on the East Coast.
A little bit. Just rain.
It's probably moved.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the majority of it's off
Joe
the coast.
Joe P. sent me a picture of his house in Fort Myers. One little branch broke.
It was inland.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because Fort Myers did get pummeled.
Yeah, yeah, but he wasn't. He's inland.
Yeah. Good.
A couple miles.
We should have done a Bish Drab bet. Big game tonight.
It is.
Why?
A big
I don't
game.
Feel comfortable about it. I'm betting on Seattle.
All right, we got to get out of here. We'll see you again tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.